When you find it, just keep it open. I'll be reading scripture along. And so, 12th chapter of Daniel. Last Wednesday night, on the bulletin board, on the blackboard, I drew a very brief sketch of the rapture and the time of the 7 years of tribulation. Because of sin and disobeying God, the children of Israel spent 70 years in captivity in Babylon. Then there came a time. It happened just like God said. And the Bible tells me that when Babylon fell, it's when the Medes and the Persians had overran them and taken the land. Now, some things that would be good for all of us to always remember. There have only been 6 world powers to rule the world up until today. There's been Egypt, Assyria, and then Medes and the Persians overran the Babylonians, and that's number 4. And then the Grecians, and then the Romans. And there has not been a world power to rule the known world since Rome fell in the 4th century A.D. And there will not be another world power to rule the world until the tribulation. And in this 11th chapter, God gives, and we're not going to read the 11th chapter, but in the 11th chapter, God gives an overview, a prophetic word about what was going to take place from Daniel's day until the end time. Isn't that amazing? Only God knows the future. These people out here on Jefferson Avenue and Ward Boulevard that's got a sign up, come by and give me some money and I'll read your palm. They're going to tell you something's going to happen in the future. Only God knows. And so he gives a picture in the 11th chapter. He gives a picture to Daniel of what was going to take place from Daniel's day until the end time. Then you come to the 12th chapter. In the first verse, Daniel gets a glimpse of the coming tribulation that I drew on the board. And he says these words in the first verse, "There shall be a time of trouble such as never was since there was a nation even till that same time," just as I said Wednesday. There's coming a time, God said to Daniel. There's coming a day, a trouble that's never been one like it. And there'll never be another in the future. Some years earlier, Jeremiah said something similar about the tribulation. Listen to his words. He said, "Alas, for the day is great so that none is like it. It is even the time of Jacob's trouble." Think about it. Centuries later, Jesus, when he was with the disciples on the Mount of Olives, and he opened his mouth and began to tell the disciples about what was going to take place in the end time. He talked about the tribulation. And he said these words, "For then shall be great tribulation, such as was not since the beginning of the world to this time, no, nor ever shall be." If one more time, I can tell you today, we are living at the very threshold of the coming of the Son of God. The rapture is going to take place, and immediately after the rapture takes place, there is going to be judgment on this world. There's going to be tribulation. We are not in the tribulation now. We will not go into the tribulation if you serve God. But the tribulation is about to break because Jesus is about to come for his own. "Then shall there be great tribulation, such as was not since the beginning of the world to this time, no, nor ever shall be," Jesus said. That will be the most terrible 7 years of human history. Mark it down. 6,000 years mankind has been on this earth, and no 7 years is ever compared to the tribulation period that is about to come. It's just around the corner, and remember, it's going to begin immediately after we're gone. Thank God, God is going to have it to wait until it takes us out of here. That ought to be enough to shout about. We are not going to go through the judgments and the tribulations of God. I want you to notice in the first verse, the last part of the first verse, and the second verse, "At that time, thy people shall be delivered, everyone that shall be found written in the book. And many of them that sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake, some to everlasting life, and some to shame and everlasting contempt." God is telling Daniel that this is going to be the nation of Israel, a time when they will be destroyed or they'll be scattered, and it'll be as if they are in the dust of the earth, but they're going to be revived. They're going to be a return to their homeland. Although they are scattered throughout the whole world, God said, in the last days I'm going to bring them back. And some of them in the last, very last moments of time, according to this dispensation, and it'll be like they'll be resurrected from the dust and so, in that sense of the word, and be a new nation again. And the Bible says, and those that accept the Messiah, I will go in with him and rejoice with him and enjoy the blessings of God entering into the kingdom. And those who reject the offer of the Messiah shall awake unto everlasting shame and contempt. I want you to understand this today. I don't have this in my notes, but I want to bring it to our attention. A long time ago, God said, because Israel, his chosen people, sinned and disobeyed, he said, you're going to be overrun. You're going to go into captivity. You're going to be, your nation will, you'll go through some hard times. You're going to be scattered all into the nations of the entire world. You'll be a people without a home. But in the last days, he said, I'm going to bring you back home. I'm going to establish you in your own land, the land that I promised Abraham and Isaac and Jacob. I'm going to bring you back home, and you're going to be a nation again. Listen closely. That has happened in my generation. God has brought Israel from the nations of the world, the Jews from the nations of the world in 1948, established them in their homeland, and made them a nation again. And although right now there are those that would like to wipe Israel off the map, listen closely, they will never do it because God is going to take care. The man that is in charge in Egypt, Moses is name, of the Muslim Brotherhood against Israel. He has called them various names, and they are after, or wants to wipe them off. The man that's in charge in Iran has said, we want to wipe Israel off the map. No longer a nation. Listen, God said, I'm going to bring them back as a nation. I'm going to establish them. They'll be a nation again. And there one time, there's going to be a time, he said, and they're going to come forth, they that love me. They're going to enter into the kingdom. And they that reject the Messiah shall be resurrected. I have come forth from the dust to shame and eternity. Eternal damnation. Listen to what I tell you, that we are nearing the end. We are close to the very time of the coming of the Lord. Verse number 4. But thou, O Daniel, shut up the words and seal the book, even to the time of the end. Many shall run to and fro, and knowledge shall be increased. I would like to stop there for a moment. God says to Daniel, when he's given the revelation of the end time, he says, shut up the words and seal the book, even to the time of the end. He was saying, the people, this cannot be revealed now. The people could not and would not understand it right now, but it's going to be revealed in the end time. And now listen closely. 600 years later, John is on the Isle of Patmos. He's put there to die. Punishment for preaching the gospel. And while he's there, God gives him the revelation of the Lord Jesus Christ. And he says something like this to John. This is Jesus talking. He says, John, seal not the sayings of the prophecy of this book, for the time is at hand. I want you to see the picture. In Daniel's day, 600, 550, 520, B.C. God says, Daniel, I showed you some things, but you can't reveal them now. Seal the book. Shut it up. The people will not understand. 600 years later, John is receiving the revelation, and God says to John, John, don't seal the book any longer. Reveal it. Tell the people. And the book of Revelation is not a mystery book. It's to be revealed. And God tells John, I had Daniel to seal it 600 years ago, but now is the last days. Don't seal it any longer. It's time now. He says, in the end time. So I want to give another clarification. When did the last days begin? When did the end time begin? According to the Bible. When Joel was prophesying way before the time of Christ, he said, "And in the last days I will pour out of my spirit," said the Lord God, "I'll pour out my spirit upon all flesh." Amen. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Yes. Some will dream dreams and some will have visions, but in the last days I'll pour out my spirit upon all flesh. And when the day of Pentecost came and Peter was preaching, and the Holy Ghost had come, and the people were speaking in tongues and magnifying God and praising God. And the people that had gathered there in Jerusalem for the feast of Pentecost, not understanding what was going on, God was pouring out His Spirit. And Peter stood up, and they had questions, and they said, what does this mean? And Peter said, "This is that which was spoken of by the prophet Joel. In the last days, saith God, I will pour out of my Spirit upon all flesh." Let me just tell you something. The last days began with Pentecost, with the resurrection of Jesus, and with Pentecost, and the Holy Ghost filling the hearts and lives. The last days began. And if the last days began 2,000 years ago, don't you suppose we're getting down to the end of the last days? If I can leave anything in your minds this morning, it's this. Not only are we in the last days, we are at the closing out time. It's coming to an end. Everything that God said must be done has been done. No prophecy needs to be fulfilled that I know of in the Bible. Before the rapture takes place, I believe right now the trumpet could sound and everything be right according to the Bible. Jesus is coming, and He wants everyone to be ready. I want to preach this morning three signs of the end time that were given to Daniel 2,600 years ago. Three signs of the end time. If you'll go with me to the fourth verse, I'm going to read it. "But thou, O Daniel, shut up the words and seal the book, even to the time of the end. Many shall run to and fro, and knowledge shall be increased." I am going to preach about signs of the end time. He said, "In those last days, many shall run to and fro." So I'd like to begin with that statement, and I'd like to begin with the word, emphasize the word run. Run means to pick up speed, go at a little faster pace. He said, in the last days, it'll be a busy time. People will be coming and going. And I thought when I was reading that, that is America in the year 2012. People are coming and going. It's a busy time. And he said they will be running to and fro. And so there are some in this congregation, no doubt, this morning, that have seen how that various inventions and various things that have come our way, how that transportation, how that travel has picked up, the speed of travel has increased in such a mighty way. Now, I realize all of us were not way back under the turn of the century, but I'm going to use some illustrations. In my generation, things have happened at a fast pace. Seems as if we came along till I came along, or my generation came along, and then God put it in high gear. Let me use an illustration. In 1769, a steam-powered carriage was developed, and it went down the streets of Paris at 2.5 miles an hour. Do you know how fast you usually walk? 4 miles an hour. No, I shouldn't say usually. You can walk 4 miles an hour. Probably we will go about 2. That steam-powered carriage went 2.5 miles an hour. Then at the turn of the last century, the Wright brothers, you've read of them, they developed what they called the airplane, and they took it to Kitty Hawk, North Carolina. I was reading after one writer that said that Kitty Hawk was possibly one of the windiest places that they could go to help to try to test their invention, the airplane. When they got there and got it all together and were ready to fly the new invention, the first trip, the first flight, was 120 feet. This building is 40 feet wide. That means the first airplane flight was 3 times as far as the width of this, from here to out there to the garden. They didn't give up. They tried it again, tried it again, tried it again. And before they finished that day, they had gone on a flight 852 feet. Took them 59 seconds, almost a minute. They flew the airplane 852 feet. And I thought, man, we have sure come somewhere from there. When I was in school, we had what was called the weekly reader. Anybody? They came out when I was in school, the weekly reader, that there was going to be a plane, how that it would be able to fly so many hours, that they would even have two crews. I thought, man, that's got to be way down the line. And when I got out of service and went in the Air Force, they had it while I was in the service. One crew would fly so long, and then they would take a break, take a rest, and another crew would fly it. And how the height that flew, and how the speed, and then they came with the supersonic jets. When I was a young boy, and during the Second World War, I thought, man, if I could fly a P-51 Mustang, that's about as best, or either a P-38 Lightning. That's the twin fuselage jobber. I thought that would be the height of excitement. And then came along all the jets and the MiGs and all the rest. And then we came to space flight, supersonic jets, and then space flights. And I was reading in the paper the other day, and so I asked Mike about it. We are now developing an airplane, a plane that can fly three times the speed of sound. Catch it in Newport News, and you can be out yonder in California in less than 2 hours and be back for lunch. What a thought. Three times the speed of sound, the plane that they're developing now. We have come a long ways. And he said, men, shall run, run to it. In the last days, we are running as a nation. Speed is the thing. Wilma's not here, but she was speeding. Not realizing because of something was happening in the car, and then the blue light. She was going 86 miles an hour. That's not too good. But I thought we are busy speeding. I've used this illustration, but let me just use it one more time, and I'll just hurry along. Many shall run to and fro. 1937, during the Depression, my daddy bought a brand new automobile. He bought a 1937 Ford, 60 horsepower, white wall tires. It was a beauty. Coming out of the Model A and Model T, that was a beauty. We decided to go to North Carolina to visit our relatives, my grandfathers. And while we were there, Daddy stayed at the house one day, and Mama took the boys, us, with her somewhere, and I don't know where we were going, but she was driving that new automobile, and we were all eyes watching the speedometer because we were used to a Model T. Or Model A, maybe a B. And Mama got that 37 Ford up to 50 miles an hour. And we were flying. And you know what us boys did? We couldn't wait till we got back to the house to tell Daddy. 50 miles an hour, Daddy. Many shall run. And America is going at a fast pace. But let me just go back to the first part of that. Many shall run to and fro in the last days. And I'm going to mention the emphasis on the many. Did you know we're living? I heard before Hampton Expressway. Where are we? Hampton Expressway, right up here, where we turn to go home, where we turn to go home. I heard the reporter, and I don't know whether it's Channel 10 or Channel 3, but I heard the reporter make fun. A road to nowhere that they're building over on the peninsula. It ends up at a Washateria on Jefferson Avenue. Who's going to take the expressway to Washateria? And they laughed and made fun. He ought to have been out here the other morning. When it's time to go to Thomas Nelson to school, and I'm trying to get to church, and it's that time when it's backed up, you have to wait two or three stoplights at Big Bethel just the other cross. Or to get on Route 17 in the afternoon at the wrong time. Be backed up from here to yonder. Or to go to Washington, D.C. about the time getting off work. From Baltimore to Fredericksburg. Many are running. Many are running to and fro. We are a going people. But I would like, and we're busy people, but let me just share something with you. My prayer this morning is don't get so busy. But what you don't have time for God, and for prayer, and for Bible reading, and for church attendance, and being with God's people and be built up. Don't ever get too busy to serve God. Don't ever get too busy to get a hold of God. Get alone with God somewhere until you pray through, and the joy bells are ringing in your heart. Don't ever get too busy to pass that by. Let that pass by. God help us. Then he says, not only many are running to and fro in the last hours and the last days. He said, but knowledge shall be increased. Now, again, I've been around a while, and some here have as well. But I can remember when, if you did not have a set of encyclopedia in your house, you were without a lot of information. That was really the height of it. If you had a set of encyclopedias, you could about find out anything you wanted to know. Every home that could afford them, every home would have encyclopedia. My mother and daddy bought a set when I was just a youngster. During the Second World War, we had some boarders that came from Florida, and they were working building houses here on the peninsula. And one of those boys, one of those young men, after he come home and clean up and eat supper, he would go into the living room, that's where the encyclopedia were, and he would get up a volume, and he would sit down and read and read and read. And maybe the next night get another and read and read and read. And listen to what he did. There's another young man about the same age that was a boy with him, and he didn't read anything. But this boy would read, and he would go and say, I bet you so-and-so this. And the boy that didn't read anything didn't know. That can't be. He said, let's go to the encyclopedia and prove it. But they argued about everything. They were building over there in Brooklyn Park, and when they got home, it was supper time, and Mama had supper ready, and they got to arguing with a few boys about the certain dimensions of what they were building, and they one said, I don't believe you. The other said, it is a certain way. They got in their van and went back to Brooklyn Park, missed out, to prove that it was this long or this wide or whatever. But the boy that read the encyclopedia, he was up to date on some knowledge. Listen, that's about all we had then in school. But if you want to study home, the encyclopedia. And now we've got the computer. And brother, I'm computer savvy. I thought about the scientific technology and the medical technology and all that man, the increase in knowledge. So I thought about the computer. I thought about Google and YouTube and Facebook and iPhone and iPod and gigahertz, petabytes, blackberries, and the list goes on. And the only thing I know about is blackberries, and evidently the blackberry I think about is not the blackberry they talk about. Before Tom left, he and Bruce to go to Seattle for the shipyard this week. They've gone now. I called him and said, son, give me some words. He gave me some more. I thought, this is enough. They won't believe that I know all of this. I have been on Google once. I don't know whether I found what I was looking for or not. But let me leave something with you. Information has really boomed. I can assure you that some children are learning in grammar school some things we never had in high school. And some little fellows can get those dilly bobs and they can get their thumbs going 90 to nothing. And some young teenagers can write a message before almost you can get it out. You talk about stenography. They don't even need shorthand anymore, just Twitter. Or something. You're the famous one. Let me tell you something. When the Bible says, and knowledge shall increase. There's never, and this is important now. I haven't lived 100 years yet. But in my generation, knowledge has increased more than I can even begin to imagine. Every word that I just mentioned concerning the computer was not in our dictionary except BlackBerry. And that had nothing to do with computer. All of these are brand new words, coming up with new phrases and new things all the time. And I thought, my God, if people were as hungry for the Word of God, getting in the Scripture and learning the Word of God, stay in the Word. How many young people stay on that thing all the time? Have their text message and all, whatever they do. They went through all of that. My God, if the people will spend some time in the Word of God and get a hold of God and enjoy the blessings of God. He said in the last days, a sign of the end will be they will run to and fro, and knowledge shall increase. If, brother, if there's a sign of the end of the age, we are right at the end of the age. I was in a service in 1965, or somewhere along there, in a youth convention in Oklahoma City. It was either then or maybe the next 2 years, 1967, right around that last part of the 60s. And a man said, he was the president of the Bible school in Oklahoma City, of Southwestern Bible School. He said, in the 15 years past, he said, the knowledge has increased, has doubled. Not it was 6 months. And in 1 year, how it is 6 months now? Double. And then I heard later on that it's double again. And double again. And now it seems as if what you learned yesterday is almost outdated tomorrow. They'll sell you an iPod or an IP or an iPhone or something. And somebody else, they told me that sometimes before you get it, there's a new one on the market, or getting ready to come out. I'm waiting for the last one. I'm going to be gone. Many shall run to and fro. He said, this is the end time. I want you to mark it down, Daniel. It wasn't that way in Daniel's day. It wasn't that way in Jesus' day. I thought about Brother Holloway, Mary Jane's father. I was talking to him one time. He said, I don't believe I've ever been out of state maybe but one time. Hadn't been out. There was a time when it was not easy to get out of a coach. Didn't have a ferry before the bridge. That's before Mary Jane's time. Oh, yes. I can remember that. Only way to get to Norfolk is a ferry. You'll have to go off, take the ferry, 45 minutes across. No tunnel. Well, you say, preacher, we've come a long ways. But this is what I want to share with everybody before I come to the third point. Is he said in the last days, many shall run to and fro, and knowledge shall be increased. Brother, if I know anything about what's going on in the world, and what the Bible says, we are surely in the last of the last days. He's coming. And the last part that he mentions in that 10th verse that I'd like to bring to our attention in the 11th chapter of Daniel, 12th chapter of Daniel, and the 10th verse. Many shall be purified and made white and tried, but the wicked shall do wickedly, and some and none of the wicked shall understand, but the wise shall understand. But the wicked shall do wickedly, and none of the wicked shall understand. He said, in the last days, in the end time, there would be spiritual blindness. Mark that down in your minds. There will be spiritual blindness. People will be blinded to the truth. I believe this. I believe rather than man getting better, man is getting further and further from God. I'm talking about a wholesale. Rather than the bulk of the population of the world coming to know God, it seemed like men are fast going the other direction. He says in that 10th verse how that many shall do wickedly, how that they would be blinded to the truth. Let me read it again. Many shall be purified and made white and tried, but the wicked shall do wickedly, and none of the wicked shall understand, but the wise shall understand. The wicked will not understand. They'll be blinded by the things of the world and all the rest. So I'm going to leave something with you this morning. We are hearing on every hand, we're hearing that in the last days there's going to be this great revival and then the rapture is going to take place. There has been a great revival in the last days.
The last days began, remember, with Pentecost and the resurrection of Jesus. There's been great revival time and time and time again. All of them in the last days. And some are preaching, and I've mentioned this before, and I'm not going to go through that again, but so many are preaching that just before the Lord comes, there's going to be a worldwide revival. By the millions, they're going to be swept into the kingdom of God. After they run to God, brother, I wish that was so.
Amen.
God would not want it to be so.
Yes.
And if people would repent, it would be so. Yes. But God said in the last days they would be blinded to the things of God. And the wicked will continue to do wickedness because they don't realize the hour in which they live.
Yes.
The last days. And so, let me leave this with you today. I believe God can give every one of us individually a revival. I believe every family can have a revival. I believe every church can have a revival. I believe God wants us to have revival in the one who has tabernacle. But I don't believe the Lord will have revival because the Bible says in the last days rather than revival, they're going to be falling away. The people that go to the darkness rather than light, they'll reject the truth. They will live wickedly, and they will love to live wickedly. In spite of what anybody says, they will be blinded to the things of God, and they will continue in their wickedness. And God says to Daniel, and let them continue in their wickedness. They that do wicked shall continue in that, and those that do righteous shall be righteous. What do you say, preacher? I'm saying that we are so close to the end, I have never known America being in the shape that we are tonight, today, morally. Forget about politically or financially or any other, just morally.
Yes.
I don't believe America has ever been as low morally as we are today.
Yes.
And whatever takes place, and I'm not here trying to advocate anybody vote any particular way, that's between you and your God. This is what I'm saying today. Unless something happens in America, we're on the same road with Rome.
That's right.
Sin will damn America to torment. Every nation that forgets God, the Bible says, shall be turned into hell. Every nation that forgets God. We have been a Christian nation. We have been a blessing to the world. We have sent missionaries around the world. I believe there's plenty of people, a lot of them in America, that are still holding this thing together. People that love God, holding on to God. They're still holding on to God, and God is what they're saying. God's extending mercy. But listen, folks today, we are living in the last moment and the last hour.
A
my generation, your generation, the coming of the Lord, they're drawing nigh. And he said, they that do wickedly, let them continue to be wicked. Then I get down to the last chapter of the Bible. I come to the 22nd chapter of the book of Revelation. And Jesus is giving some words to John. And he says these words, he that is unjust, let him be unjust still. And he that is filthy, let him be filthy still. And he that is righteous, let him be righteous still. And he that is holy, let him be holy still. He said that is the end time judgment. That's the end time coming of the Lord. Those that love God and love God with all their heart, they're going to be with God forever. Those that are wicked shall be turned into hell, the Bible says. A picture of the end time. But I'm going to close with one other thought today. And we're going to pray. Keep this. I'm going to go back over it one more time. And then we're going to pray. Many shall run to and fro. Many shall be coming and going. And that is the case in America, for sure. Knowledge shall be increased. When I talk to some young people, when I realize what they are learning, so far removed anything that I was taught in school. When Mike and Tom were in just youngsters, and they came out with that new math lost me. Something I couldn't help them with at all. I don't know whether they changed it back to proper math or not, throw that new stuff out. But so much is there. But the last part says, they that do wickedly, let them continue in it. And they that are righteous, continue in it. Listen to this, son, folks. I painted a dark picture because these are dark days.
Yeah.
Satan is having a heyday. Millions are lost. and seem like they care nothing about God. And some that have known God. I was talking to someone the other day about folks that attend a certain church, and the name of the church is immature right now. How have they grown so far? A Pentecostal church has grown so far from the truth, and trying to be like the Jews and trying to have the Jewish rituals again, like we studied in the book of Hebrews. Folks, I'll tell you what I want. I want what God has for the day.
Yes. Yes.
And the last thing that I want to say this morning, come on the piano, honey. Remember someone? Someone to care. I've got good news after all I've told you. We're living so close to the end of this dark age. Sin everywhere.
Yes.
Sin everywhere. And a matter of moral compasses broken. So the good news is, God's arm is still long enough to reach the unsaved. The heart of God is still compassionate for the lost, and He loves every lost person. The Word of God is still reaching out, come unto me. I believe the message this morning is this: in this last hour, before Jesus comes, if we have a moment at all, He's still reaching out. He's still saving. He's still forgiving. He's still washing sins away. He's the perfect sacrifice. The blood of Jesus covers all our sins. We've got somebody that cares for us. His name is Jesus. We're going to sing that chorus. 132 in the chorus book. Somebody cares. I realize the days when we are. Not an easy time. I'm glad I'm alive. I hope I'm alive when the trumpet sounds. But I'm not waiting. If I go on this day, if I go on that, I'm going to come back. I'm that great. God, I love you today. Will you stand with me?